This is Sister Knows Best, a DCU's Batman fanfic written by Hearts Logos and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Tim Drake, Jason Todd, with additional tags for family reunion, family bonding, Robins being Robins, Tim and Jason have their heads stuck up their butts, brotherly bonding, sisterly bonding, group hugs, Bat Family. Cass looks between Tim and Jason, then across at Damien, who shrugs unconcerned. Mostly tired and thinking elsewhere, mind going off. Not here, not about them. Normal? Normal. This is normal. Then back to Tim and Jason. Bruce said Jason was better? Softer? Warmer? No, he said. Jason is making progress. I believe that you could befriend him, if you chose. She heard, saw. Jason is coming home. He's becoming family. He could use a sister if you'd be that for him. She makes a choice. Cass looks between Tim and Jason, the stilted and awkward turn. Tim curves a little to his side, always curves away, defensive. Used to do that to her, too. A soft and dazed thing in his eyes says he knows he does it. Doesn't mean to. Reflex. Don't blame him. Cass rolls her ankle underneath the table. You shy away from pain. It's nature. Jason is a lot of pain, inside and outside. Jason looks big, forces himself to take up more space. Doesn't want to. Sees the parts where he wants to curve inward, like flower. Flytrap and 4 o'clock. She turns to Dick, who mostly just looks hopeful. Won't touch that. At least, not yet. Glances away. Cass looks between the three, now four of her brothers, then turns to Alfred. Alfred usually sees what she sees. And she sees that they're going to be dumb boys about this when they could just be. Alfred smiles and refills her teacup. The cup is thin and delicate. Gold edges and pretty patterns with leaves and circles and small butterflies. It's one of her favorites. It's also one of Bruce's favorites. Because it's her favorite, and because he loves her, because she is worthy, and they are both worthy, and he likes it when she comes home. Cass hums and crosses her legs as she flicks her eyes between her dumb boy brothers. She's going to need backup. They're dumb, Cass says, waiting until Barbara gives her the signal that means she's free to talk. They are dumb boys. They shouldn't be. They should know better by now. Barbara snorts. They're boys. Our boys. They'll always be like that. That's why they need us to kick their asses into shape and make them get what's important. Oh, Cass, I do miss it when you're not here in person. You have a wonderful way of cutting through crap like a hot knife through butter. It makes people so nervous. Dance, puppet, dance, Cass intones, because Barbara finds it funny, and when Barbara laughs, she loosens and becomes young in herself, the self deep inside and tucked away where it can't be shot or hurt anymore. Cass cherishes the moments when she can bring out that young, real, hidden Barbara. She cherishes them in the back of her mouth, tucked behind her molars in the spot that tastes sweet, hidden with Bruce's smiles and Stephanie's delight. Welcome home, little sister, Barbara says, holding out her hand. Cass moves in, pressing her face to Barbara's hair and breathing in Gotham. Now, what about those boys that got you so upset? Jason, Cass says. Barbara's mouth goes tight, defensive. They're going to be dumb about Jason. Loose, surprise, delight, caution, pleased. I'm going to stop it. Need help, Cass says. They're very, very dumb about it. Or will be. Tim especially. Barbara snorts out a laugh, and Cass frowns. Jason may be Barbara's soft spot, but Tim will always be Cass's. He's hers. Her Robin. Her brother. Hers. She's protective of him. She curls around the thought and feel of him, holding and protecting. Because they grew together. She grew him, and he grew her. They grow around and through each other. Because he is the word and she is the hand. Because he is the connection and she is the connector. Because his chest matches hers and his heart is so weather-worn. And she will protect her brother, partner, friend, future against all that hurts Scar Scabskin. He's always been a little bit stupid for Jason, Barbara says, waving her hand. Cass frowns. Jason was his Robin. Dick may have been Robin, but Jason was the Robin. Cass tries to understand, pick the difference. Because Tim loves Dick and holds him at arm's distance. Armed. Loves him, but hurts. And Cass is a little bit bitter about that still. Understands, but doesn't want to. Little brother, you could have come to me. We could have been... We already were. I would come for you, always. Cass shakes the thoughts from her head. What's the plan? Cass asks. Because Barbara always plans better than she does. Well, Black Bat, if you're going to be knocking sense into Robin heads, you're going to need a Batgirl. Cass seals her teeth show as she smiles. Stephanie. I'm sorry. You're going to... Stephanie starts. Stops. Closes her eyes. Cass waits. Her room smells sweet. Like candy floss. Perfume. Pink bottle. Glittering gold. Present from her mother. Cass feels guilty for not bringing more presents. Okay, you know what? I'm in. I'm so totally in. I don't care how crazy this is gonna be. I'm in. Let's do the thing. Really? Cass blinks. She expected more resistance. Stephanie and Jason do not get along. Stephanie's lip curls upward, crooked smile that makes Cass smile back. Instinct. It's our duties to set their heads straight, Stephanie says. Also, I miss you, and this is going to be so fucking fun. I can feel my blood actually moving. You have problems, Cass says. Because it's true, and because Cass loves her. Thank you. It's my sworn duty as Batgirl to take every chance I can get to show the Robins up. Stephanie snorts, hooking her leg around Cass's. Her calf is warm and smooth against Cass's skin. The bright pink foam separator between Stephanie's toes matches the nail polish she was putting on. Cass hums and kisses Stephanie's cheek. Yep. That's right. Give me some sugar. I've missed you, you ass. You're almost as bad as the rest of them at keeping in touch. Sorry, Cass says. It's not enough, she knows. But it's a start. Still friends? Of course we're still friends, Stephanie replies. So be a good friend and do my other foot, would you? My back is killing me and I'm turning into an old lady 70 years too soon. Jason's security is hard to get through, but Cass can do it, because she has Barbara's help. Cass sits on the edge of his bed and waits. According to the biometric sensor she and Steph put in earlier, he is in deep sleep, and it should take him a few minutes to realize she's here. Cass is very good at what she does. Bruce gets jealous sometimes. There isn't much to see in the room. It's a little sad and makes Cass think of her own apartment, vacated now, in Hong Kong. It doesn't have the little things that mean living instead of alive. Her room in the manor has those things. Toys, stuffed animals, pictures, things. Cass worries. What a strange word, worries. The end of her scarf between her gloved fingers, tucking her nose deeper into the folds. Stephanie let her spray it with her sweet perfume. The smell is almost faded now, but it's faint. Cass likes it. Maybe she should start using perfume too. She can feel Jason waking up next to her and turns to him.
You know, when most people dream about waking up in bed next to a pretty girl, that pretty girl isn't normally a vigilante,
Jason says. She snorts. Or their sister. A pause. Jason tilts his head in acquiescence.
That too? Unless there's something really freaky going on there.
Jason sits up against the headboard, eyes narrowed as he flicks over her.
So. Sister.
He tastes the words, a twist to them that says laughter and not real and playing pretend.
What are you doing at my place?
Cass considers that maybe she shouldn't have come in uniform.
After patrol, she says. Wanted to visit you.
She pauses, thinks, and tries what she normally would do with Tim.
In bed already? You're too young for that. This is the springtime of your youth.
Jason snorts out a laugh.
Springtime of my youth?
Yes, Cass says, easing and insides unknotting and unraveling. She reaches out and tugs at his shirt.
Fun. Let's go. It's almost 3 a.m, Jason protests, but gets up anyway.
Hesitates a moment before taking off his sleeping clothes to change.
So?
Jason sighs.
Yeah, flimsy excuse, whatever. Where are we going? Should I dress fancy or what?
Cass translates fancy to body armor. I was thinking ice cream, Cass says. Dick ate all of the mint chocolate chip.
Jason fake gasps.
Cass nods.
Let's go.
It's something like coaxing an angry cat, Cass thinks. Coaxing an angry cat using another angry cat. Stephanie and Jason haven't stopped bickering the entire time. But Stephanie is at least trying, and Jason is wary and respectful enough of Cass to hold back a little and make an effort. Cass is fairly sure that after tonight the two will be on somewhat more solid ground, though. Then it's just a process of building up from there, and using that as a springboard to start work on the stupid boys in the family. The stupid boys are getting stupider. It'd be funny to watch if they weren't her stupid boys being stupid to each other.
You can't fucking be serious,
Jason says, when Cass leads them to the bumper car section of the carnival.
I can't even fit in one of those.
Excuses? You're just afraid of losing, Stephanie replies. You can stay here and hold our bags, Cass adds on. Or you can get in a car and make a good showing before we kick your ass.
Is that a challenge, sister dearest?
Can you handle it, little brother? Jason is amused whenever she says he is the little brother. Cass is pretty sure she's got at least a month on him. Also, being dead doesn't count. Either way, Cass is claiming big sisterhood. It's not like anyone can stop her.
It's so on,
Jason replies. Stephanie and Jason mostly go after each other before deciding to team up and go after Cass. In all fairness, Cass isn't that good at driving yet, and the controls on the cars aren't their best. She thinks she holds her own pretty well. By the end of it, Stephanie and Jason aren't quite ready to snap at each other's throats anymore at every turn. So Cass is calling it a win, and they're going to work their way up from there. So Tim's being more of a clumsy dork than usual, Stephanie says. And I love him. Really, I do. But this is a bit, you know, ridiculous, capital R and everything. Cass still doesn't get why. She understands, nervous and afraid, the way he curls and gets that look on his face. But other parts, she doesn't get quite so much. Cass is going to leave those parts to Stephanie. Stephanie knows Tim in ways that Cass never will, and isn't really interested in. Is he okay? Cass asks, because Tim's avoiding her for reasons she can't really understand. It hurts a little, but he has been texting her constantly, so it's not like he's completely avoiding her. He's hiding something, though. Something he doesn't want her to see in him. She can deal with that. But if it goes on too long, she might have to pause on the whole Jason thing and do something drastic. Stephanie hums, pencil balanced on her upper lip as she tips her chair back. Cass idly touches the tips of her long hair, soft and a little damp from her shower. Well, it's more of a pre-existing condition flaring up, Stephanie says, slow, tasting out the words. Humor in the edges and in the curl of her. Painted now, bright green, toes. Cass wiggles her own, black, in response. Stephanie laughs, lets the pencil drop, and shakes her head. He'll be fine. Don't worry about it. Let's just stick to the whole making friends with Jason thing. It'll work out. Probably. Cass frowns at her black painted toes. All right. She trusts Stephanie because Stephanie trusts her. All right. I have nothing against Todd, Damien says, when Cass finds him in their sprawling backyard, idly sketching a water fountain. Cass scoops some dead leaves out of it, tossing them to the side. He's just Todd. A good fighter, a pain in everyone's side, and a respectable opponent. It's not a lie, but it's not the truth either. Cass gives Damien a look. She's been practicing this look on Tim and Stephanie for the better part of 5 years. It can make anyone crack. Damien squirms a little before glaring at her. Fine, he makes me nervous. But I don't have anything against him. He's there, and he makes everyone else on edge. So that makes me on edge. Happy? No. Cass sits next to him, touching the edge of his notebook. He hands it to her before lying down on the grass. He is very good at it, drawing. She is jealous. She can barely write legibly. Though she is getting better. Jason's been making her practice. There are even a few portraits in here that aren't half bad. They look really nice. There are a few copies of what she remembers to be pictures of Martha and Thomas Wayne. Bruce's parents. Technically, all of their grandparents. Damien's for real. Do you talk to him? Damien snorts. Cass turns to him and raises an eyebrow. Damien rolls his eyes. No, Cassandra, I have not talked to Todd. What would I even talk with him about anyway? Murder? Assassination? Damien's voice turns bitter. My mother? Cass almost winces. What about Shakespeare?
What?
Cass points in the direction the dog went off earlier. Titus. Titus Andronicus. Jason likes Shakespeare too. Damien blinks, considering for a long moment, before turning and scowling at her. Such an angry expression on a young face.
You're up to something.
We're bats. We're always up to something. Cass returns the sketchbook.
Talk to little brother, baby brother. You'd be surprised.
Besides, if you start talking to him, it'd make everyone else jumpy in good ways. Damien raises an eyebrow,
looks like Bruce, and hums.
Cass smiles and kisses his cheek.
Damien groans and starts wiping at his skin.
Ugh, you always wear lipstick when you do that, and then Grayson starts making dumb jokes,
Damien complains, making a face when he sees a smear of pink on his hand.
Cassandra, please.
Cass hums.
Well, you did say please.
And then kisses him again, this time between the eyes.
Damien throws his pencil at her.
So between Tim and Dick, I think you should save Dick for last, Barbara says.
Cass frowns.
She thought that maybe she'd go for Tim last because...
Steph hums, and Cass turns to look at her.
She's right. Dick's gonna be the hardest and most awkward. Or, you know, fraught,
Stephanie says, running a hairbrush through the tangles in her hair, wincing.
Their relationship wasn't that good to start with.
Neither was Tim and Jason's.
Cass is worried. Tim's jumpy, and whenever he and Jason are in the same room together, neither of them will look at each other, or her. And they fidget. Neither of them will talk to her about it, and Tim stopped talking to her, period. It makes her insides feel sour and twisted. Like those candies Stephanie and Damien eat. The green ones. Sour straws.
Barbara and Stephanie exchange a look.
No, not in the same way. Either way, we should work on Tim and Jason,
Stephanie says, a twist to her lips that makes Cassandra confused.
Because there's old hurt and jealousy there, and resignation, and fondness. And she doesn't understand it. She doesn't think she's ever been so confused about something before. Not about her brother. Not about Tim.
That's been going on long enough, and as fun as it is to tease, it's getting painful to watch.
Barbara hums, waving Stephanie over so she can fix Stephanie's hair.
Ugh, you're just going to make it worse. Give it here.
Stephanie crouches in front of her.
I'm going to cut it all off, I swear.
You'll regret it the moment you do, Cass says, running a hand through her own hair.
It's taken a while to grow back. She likes it now.
Long and soft. Tangles in the wind, but feels good to touch. Feels nice when others run their fingers through it. Tug.
I'm missing something here. It's not your fault, Barbara says, exchanging a soft smile with Stephanie.
You sit this one out. Stephanie and I have got this one. You work on thinking on how we're going to get Dick and Jason talking like normal baddish people again.
Cass's insides twist some more, and she frowns at her taped hands, flexing her fingers.
It's okay, Stephanie says,
and Cass looks into her warm eyes on her warm face.
You can trust them to us. They're ours just as much as they're yours, too, you know.
I know, Cass says, insides still knotting and tightening.
I know.
You've been plotting, Tim says, curled up on his side and sulking on her bed.
Cass raises an eyebrow and he rolls onto his face.
Also, I'm just going to wait until you put on some clothes.
Cass hums. Tim really should be used to this by now. And if he didn't want to see her naked, he should have waited, or at least knocked.
You're good,
Cass says, sitting next to him and running her nails over his scalp, finding the edges of the now faded scars. He relaxes under her touch, hand raising to rest on her knee, thumb making soft circles on the worn fabric of her sweatpants.
I'm always plotting. It's what we do.
You've been plotting by linking up all the terrors in my life against me, Tim says. Damien, Stephanie, Barbara, and Jason. Also you. It's like a nightmare come to life.
Tim turns and shoots her a baleful look. Nervous, and something knotted tight inside him, too.
I don't know what you mean, Cass says. She honestly doesn't. Barbara and Stephanie won't tell her. You haven't been talking to me. How am I supposed to know what's going on if you don't?
Tim winces. I thought you knew, so...
He goes pale, and then red, and then pale again, and turns his face back into her pillow and groans.
Cass frowns, gripping the back of his neck. Tim.
Cass.
Tim mumbles. She leans in to hear him.
I'm trying to just hide in your room forever, okay?
No, Cass says. Automatic, because this has happened before. Just not recently. Tim, what's wrong? Tim sighs and doesn't answer. Resignation and a touch of fear in him. She curls a hand over her own stomach, feeling bitter and sour and scared too.
Tim, you're scaring me.
His hand moves to hers and squeezes. Tim? He shakes his head.
Jason is jumpy around her, and that is suspicious. Are you hiding something? She asks. Because you should always ask first. Usually. Most of the time.
No, Jason replies.
And it would be a good lie, but she knows how to read him by now. His fingers tap against the side of his leg. He sighs.
Fuck. Yes.
Tell me. You'll feel better. Jason hesitates. I can't read his face through the helmet. But she can guess that his eyes are darting to the side, away from her.
About Tim.
Cass straightens and narrows her eyes at him.
What about him?
What does he know that she doesn't? Did Tim tell him what was wrong? What is Tim hiding from her? Is he okay?
He's been nervous and hiding things. Fidgety. Like you. What's going on? What do you know? Tell me.
Jason starts. Stops. Goes still. Shakes his head.
Never mind. It's not important.
Jason launches his grapple before she snaps at him. Cass spends the next 5 minutes quietly fuming on top of her favorite gargoyle. Tim is avoiding her again, and Jason is lying or hiding about something. Cass is getting more and more worried. Except no one else is. Stephanie and Barbara are, supposedly, continuing with their plan. Damien hasn't mentioned anything. She supposes that whatever it is Stephanie and Barbara are doing is working, because the next time she sees the two of them in the same room, they aren't. It isn't the same. Tim isn't curled, and Jason isn't making spaces. But it's still tense. And Cass is still being avoided, and it makes her upset.
It's fine, Damien tells her on patrol, biting out a short laugh. They're stupid, and it's fine. Trust me. The two of them are just...
Damien waves his hand, and Cass frowns.
It's fine.
It's not fine, Cass says. They aren't talking to me.
Probably because you'll see through them in a second, Damien shrugs. I wouldn't talk to you either if I was one of them.
Cass glares. Damien rolls his eyes. What do you know?
You're worse than Richard, Damien says, ignoring her.
He's the only one who can do that. Though she knows it takes a lot of effort.
You're supposed to be the one who notices things.
I do notice things, Cass snaps. Damien just rolls his eyes at her again and waves her off.
I'm beginning to doubt that, Kane, but whatever lets you sleep at night.
They had crushes on each other, Cass says, glaring at Barbara. And no one told me.
We told you we'd handle it, Barbara says, amused.
Cass turns her glare from Barbara to the computer screens and back to Barbara again.
You have to admit, you wouldn't want your sister knowing about your love life.
Maybe. They didn't tell me! You didn't tell me! I thought... Cass frowns. I thought something was wrong, that... Didn't trust me.
Barbara's face softens.
Never that.
Barbara touches the back of Cass's hand with two warm fingertips. Not that. Cassandra, it was just... It's just that this was something out of your expertise. Something that they had to work through themselves. Forcing them to confront it straight out wouldn't have helped any.
I could have helped in other ways.
I know. But you'd know and see straight through them, and that's not what they wanted. Or needed, Barbara says.
And now they're together. Cass frowns. Understanding. Stephanie's expression. Barbara's softness. Tim's curling, protecting the heart, not the body. And Jason's spaces. Push away rather than intimidate.
Yes, you know that they both love you, Barbara says. But there's a lot of history there. And it wouldn't help to cut through it this time. They had to unwind it. Slowly, carefully. On their own and then together.
Cass nods. I'm happy that they're happy.
Good. Because there's still one more idiot boy left to take care of, and it's my boy, Barbara says. And I'm hoping you have a plan for that.
Cass snorts.
Dick doesn't need a plan.
Barbara raises her eyebrow.
Cass makes a tossing motion.
Barbara snorts. Power in numbers.
You all made friends when I wasn't looking, Dick says, sounding a little insulted, mostly amused.
His eyes flick over them and rest on Tim and Jason, eyebrow raising as his face twitches into a smile.
And you two made more than friends.
Tim scowls at him, and Jason rolls his eyes, hand curling around Tim's wrist, soft circles and gentle fingertips. Cass's eyes flick to and away.
Your turn, she says. Friends. I can't believe this,
Dick says, half laughing.
I'm a little hurt. You all made friends behind my back, and now you're using your friendship circle against me.
Tim leans against Jason's side, a touch of arms and shoulders. It's what Jason needed. People on his side. People to support.
Yeah, Jason says. Well, I can't really believe it either.
Dick smiles at Cass. Winks.
Cass smiles back.
You're all so sneaky,
Dick says.
More like Cass is sneaky,
Tim says.
She's a trained assassin. What else do you expect? Damien snorts. Can we get this over with so I can go do other things far away from here?
You're such a teenager, Stephanie ruffles his hair.
Enjoy the nostalgic family moment.
Both Damien and Jason make a face. Cass waves her hand. Hug, she says, eyes flickering from Dick to Jason. Hug it out.
I can't believe this is the plan, Stephanie mutters.
I can't believe that my sister has been setting us all up for this one moment, Dick replies, nervously holding out his arms.
Hesitant and hoping, a little afraid, a lot longing.
Give us a kiss.
Jason snorts, fingers sliding to press and tangle with Tim's, and squeezes. Tim lets go, slowly. 4 o'clock's and flytraps. A gentle nudge forward. Jason's eyes flick from face to room to face to window. Spaces. He swallows and sighs. She watches him build himself and his confidence up and upward.
Yeah, well, you better believe it,
Jason replies, meeting Dick halfway. Both awkward and a little stiff, until Tim kicks Dick's shin.
Were you always this short, Dick?
Oh, shut up, you just got huge, Dick mutters, squeezing Jason against himself, half a smile tucked into Jason's shoulder.
God, what did they feed you? You're a giant.
The two hug, fierce and a little angry and a lot hurting happy and better. Cass waits until they're about to let go, before stepping up and wrapping her arms as far as they will go around them both. The two pause. I love my idiot brothers, she says, turning her face to give Tim and Damien a look. Both of them sigh, turning to each other before turning back to her and stepping forward, awkwardly joining the hug. Dick lets out a soft puff of laughter, and Jason snickers.
This is so sweet, Stephanie sighs. I'm going to tweet this to everyone we know.
I'm getting this framed for Alfred, Barbara replies. I think it'd bring a tear to Bruce's eye. She laughs when the other four groan.
I want a copy, Cass says. A big one. No, I want a big copy for each of us. Framed. On the walls of our rooms. Title it, Sister Knows Best. The end.